Welcome to another fresh batch of Melty Breadcast, coming straight from the oven right to your ears. This is episode 3 for September 29th, 2010. I'm your host, Master Chibi, and with me is someone whose favorite pastime is cosplaying as Tails, Mikado Fox. How's it
Screw
going?
You too, Chibi.
You know you like doing it.
Yeah, right.
First off, I want to apologize for the lack of a show last week. We had some technical difficulties that had to be taken care of. Those were taken care of, so we should be pretty good right now.
Chibi needs to watch anime.
Not a technical difficulty. It can be, but I just want to recap the last episode that we had. Went over pretty good. A lot of people liked the question and answer sessions that we had. We also got feedback in this thread. Most people wanted crazy buffs for their characters, being that they didn't really have to make any sense. But most of them did, actually. Stuff like reversals, more options during their moves, etc. But overall, the nerfs, pretty much universal. Everybody hates Kohaku a lot. A whole freaking lot.
I mean, we all do, don't we?
I think we're all hateful. I don't even know what the right word is. It's not so much hate, I guess, sick of or jealous, perhaps, maybe salty, I don't know. But yeah, most of the nerfs, if not all of them, were directed straight to Kohaku and her having a lot of good stuff that most of the other characters don't. So with that out of the way, this week we have another interview. This interview is for a previous IAMP player, or not so much previous. He's the owner of Mizumi.net. He hosts various quote-unquote poverty IRC channels, along with wikis for various doujinshi games, and he's hosted multiple American Melty gatherings in the past. This is Belrisa. How's it going?
It's going. It's me.
It's going. I guess to start us off, give us a little information on your fighting game background, as far as you want to take it, really.
My fighting game background. Actually, that started with Street Fighter II. I was actually one of the older school generations that played Street Fighter II in the arcade. I did the whole 7-Eleven Circle K thing. Like, when there was basically a Street Fighter II machine on every corner. Mm-hmm. And I was never really serious back then, so I mashed it just like, you know, all the other millions of little kids did. Did that for a bit. I went to college, and I started playing Alpha 3 because I missed the whole Alpha 2 thing. That's when I kind of started getting back into fighting games with Alpha 3. Moved on from there, CVS 1 and 2. And right around with CVS 2 is when I first discovered Melty Blood. Now, back then, it was the Melty Blood React. It was
right.
A really, really old version, and back then, it was a pretty terrible game. So I did that for a bit, moved on to IAMP, moved on to EFC, discovered the whole wonderful world of poverty fighting games. And from there on, that's pretty much where things are right now. I just kind of stuck with Melty over the years, and that kind of culminated with Melty at EVO this year. So that's
cool.
Where things stand
cool.
Right now.
So you've had the strong, I guess you call it a strong Capcom upbringing. So
I've actually been more of a Capcom person than most people that play Melty Blood. A lot of people that play Melty, they also play Guilty Gear or Blaze Blue, but I've actually gravitated more towards the Capcom side. So I guess that's kind of different from a lot of the other people on the scene.
Do you play Super?
I've played Super in the past, just like everybody else has. I don't really play it seriously, but, you know, I play it just because, you know, if you have Street Fighter fundamentals, you can play it. It's not that hard.
Right. I guess a good question I should ask is, why did you pick up Melty Blood? I mean, coming from Alpha 3 and Street Fighter 2 and whatnot, how do you, did it have similarities to anything else you might have played before?
Well, we covered this previously in other interviews on Melty Blood being very similar to Alpha 3.
Right.
So I guess there was that one aspect of it. I actually picked it up because somebody recommended me. I don't remember who recommended me the game, but somebody said, you should play Melty Blood. It's a pretty good game. And so I picked it up, checked it out, And I was like, oh, this is kind of cool. Because back then, honestly, I didn't know that much about fighting games anyways. So I kind of played everything that I came across. I played, you know, King of Fighters, Power Stone, all that shit on Dreamcast. The Dreamcast was like the defining console of my generation. So I had like, you know, the big folder with a million fucking Dreamcast fighting games on there. So
I remember Power Stone.
I think we all do, actually.
I believe, yeah, you already did mention when you played Melty Blood, or you picked it up. So it was around, what, that's 2001, I believe?
I don't think it was actually out that early. I think it was around 2004. The original Melty is a pretty old game, but I didn't actually play the original Melty. I played Melty Blood React, and I kind of retroactively looked at Melty Blood, the original, which was even worse. So it's probably better that we just leave all that in the annals of history, the dust of Osiris, et cetera, et cetera. Just leave it. Let it be forgotten. We don't want to remember that game. It's terrible. It's bad.
Really bad.
All right. The next question is going to be, what character do you play? And I'm going to be specific in the sense of the last, I guess, two revisions, NBAC and now NBAA.
Well, in NBAC, I played Len, but this is before there was a Moon System. So the Moon System was introduced in Actress again. So back in NBAC, I played Len, who was the character I started with in Melty Blood React as well. And Len was just kind of specifically not my character, but when I picked her up, I hadn't really discovered myself and what kind of style I have. It took a lot of time and a lot of effort to figure out exactly what I liked out of a character in a fighting game. So by the time I picked up Actress again, I knew exactly what kind of character I wanted. So in that game, I played a Full Moon White Len, who's pretty much just kind of a zoning keep away character. Just kind of very, very unique in the context of Melty Blood Actress again, because there's not a lot of characters that work like her in that game.
Laming out.
Yeah, pretty much. A lot of characters in Melty are very, very rushdown oriented, and she's just kind of complete 180 from that.
Speaking of rushdown characters, you happen to main or secondary another character that you play in Tourney, is that correct?
Yeah, I also played Full Reese because at the time I was kind of complaining about, you know, how Full White Len is kind of a weak character, and so I was thinking of picking up another character just, you know, for her bad matchups. And so I picked up Full Reese originally mostly just to troll people. But she's actually a really good character in PS2. And in the arcade version, she's actually even better. She's, like, really good now. So there's kind of the whole factor where it's like, oh, you know what? Now the character's good. You can't play her. But you know what? Whatever. She's a good character. Everybody's she's popular now. Everybody's picking her up. So I'm just going to do what I can with that character. Assuming we ever see the release anyways.
I hope so. Next question. How do you go from IAMP to Melty?
That was actually a very difficult transition because I remember when I was playing Melty Blood Act Cadenza with Tom, or otherwise known as Arlieth, and we played on PS2 and we were just grinding it out at the now defunct arcade that he was at. I don't remember the name of it, but he was at that time he was in charge of FFA, and there was another one. So anyways, we were just playing Melty, and basically I would just not block things low, which is really bad in Melty, because you're supposed to block everything low in Melty. Because in IMP, there's an auto guard system, so you can kind of just block everything whichever way you want.
Right.
So a lot of the times he would just do two-way, and I would get hit for no reason. That was pretty stupid.
What's going on?
So it was a pretty difficult transition, and especially with Melty, which is more in line with Arxis-type games where there's a lot of air dashing, a lot of air movement, a lot of big combos. I am not so much big on the combos. A lot of emphasis on spacing and zoning. It's more of a Capcom-type game, I am. So the transition was really difficult. It took me a while to get used to it. But I think I finally managed to do a decent job of it.
Do you think you can go back now? Would it be hard for you to go back? Or do you think you could just fall into place and not really...
Go back in what sense, though?
And like now that you're playing Melty Blood, if you decided to like start taking IAMP fully seriously, do you think you would have as much trouble as you did transitioning from IAMP to Melty?
Not really. I actually play both games like pretty steadily, so
okay.
It doesn't really make a difference to me. It's kind of like with me specifically, when I transition to something, there's a period of time where it takes a lot of effort to adjust, but once I learn both things, I can kind of go back and forth, and I can even take principles from one game and apply it to the other game. Like, oh, you can bait this way in this game, and nobody's ever kind of done it this way. So it's basically good because you can use some tactics like that and just kind of cross over, and you just bring more stuff to the table. So I've actually done that for both games. I've taken some Melty tactics into IAMP, and I've taken some IAMP tactics into Melty. And obviously the better players are the ones that play a lot of games, so they can have even more stuff to cross over
right.
with.
Do you have any characters in particular that you like seeing played, whether here in the United States or, I guess, in match rates from Japan or whatnot?
Which revision, though? Actors again, recurrent code.
Either or both. I mean,
well, I the reason I'm asking is because like character variety in current code is a lot wider than it is right now in actress again. Because
right.
in current code, number one, a lot of the top tier characters got nerfed, so we don't see them anymore. Number two, it's still early in the lifespan of the game, so
everybody's
we're seeing a
everything.
Lot more variety right now. People are still experimenting. They're not locked down to a certain character that they have to pick to win. Like, at the end of actress again's lifespan, we pretty much knew who the top tier characters were, and we knew who every player was going to play. Like, if we saw Ida, we know he was going to play Seiko Haku. If we saw, you know, Jeffrey Manson, he's going to play full Aoko most of the time. He's either full or Crescent Aoko. So we kind of knew what every player was going to play, so the variety kind of ran out. It was always kind of fun to see some of the underrated characters. Like, me personally, I always like picking the weird underdog characters. It's not necessarily low tier, but I just like picking characters that nobody has seen before and just doing stuff with them. And there's a lot of people in the community that like to do that, like Zard and Biscuit, for example. He likes picking up the weird characters nobody has seen and just, you know, expanding upon that character and just coming up with all this crazy stuff. So, like, right now in Actress Again, not really, because we've kind of seen almost everything the game has had to offer.
Mm-hmm.
Current code, we haven't come close to scratching the tip of the iceberg, so there's a lot of characters that still are not getting played because a lot of people, they're still experimenting or, you know, they're like, oh, this is my character. I want to win, so I'm not going to pick. Like, I'm not going to mess around.
Right.
And another factor is that just because we have videos from Japan, that's not representative of all multiplayer in Japan. I think a lot of people that when they do the whole YouTube Warrior or the Nico Doga Warrior thing,
right,
they kind of forget that, you know, just because we're not seeing this character doesn't mean they're not getting played. It's just that they're not taking videos because there's not necessarily something interesting to watch, or maybe they just didn't feel like recording. So, yeah, there's a lot of stuff out there that we haven't seen and probably are not going to see for a while, if ever. So it's kind of difficult to say what I want to see compared to what's actually being played.
Sure.
I mean, what's that?
Go ahead.
Well, to be honest, I would really like to see more of the underplayed characters in Actress Again, just to see what kind of buffs they got. Like, I want to see more Roa. I want to see more Sioko. I do know that Fusui, who used to play Full Nanaya, and I think he played Vishion too, but he went back to Sioko in the latest 5v5, and he was tearing it up because Sioko got quite a lot of buffs. So now he's doing all this crazy stuff with her that, you know, basically was not worth it in Actress Again. So that's kind of cool. But we just basically need more of that, more of the underrepresented characters, just to balance out the spectrum, so to speak.
Okay, so it's not so much that there's certain characters, it's just more so that you want to see new stuff than, I guess, we haven't been shown.
Right, because, you know, we've all seen how Halftono works. We've seen Halftono.
Right.
We know how all these characters work. Let's see some more underrepresented characters that, you know, a lot of people haven't seen before. Like, see Roa, completely underrated character. When Kusanagi plays see Roa at Evo, I was like, wow, I did not know this character was capable of doing all this. This looks really crazy. I can see what would be bad for this character, but I can also see where this character would really shine. So, stuff like that. Like, more see Roa, more full Roa, more Sioko, just a lot of the underrepresented characters, more C-Len, more F-Len, especially since a lot of these characters, they got pretty significant changes. Like, full Len no longer has a dash, she has an actual hop now. So that kind of changes everything up.
Okay, cool. Do you have any arch rivals or formidable opposition in the community, so to speak?
Yeah, well, for me personally, I've always gauged my own progress against how well I do against other people. So when I was training Melty up for Evo, my former rival was basically Shay James, and he played Crescent Mech. He took top 8 at Evo. He was my training partner, and we played a lot together. He would beat me pretty consistently at the beginning. I kind of closed the gap later on, but it was kind of difficult getting him to play because we lived pretty far apart. Then there's HF Blade, which, you know, he's a really, really good, really solid player. As far as West Coast goes, those are pretty much the only two people, and not including Yak, because he's in Northern California, so right. I don't really have access to play him regularly. But I really don't have, like, a specific arch rival. I just pick strong players, and I'm like, okay, I need to beat these guys to be considered decent. So as far as West Coast goes, pretty much just Yat, Shay, and HF Blade. East Coast, I think you can consider Spooky my rival because I've known Spooky for a long, long time. We got into Melty Blood together back in the old days of FNet where it was like a 9-person channel and we're both talking about like Melty Blood React. So he's kind of like the godfather of the East Coast Melty thing. And people consider me the godfather of West Coast Melty for some reason. I don't understand that. That's what people say. So whatever. So yeah, I guess they're Spooky and yeah, that's pretty much it. And I guess generic superhero because he bodied me last year at NEC, so I want to run back. So uh-oh. Yeah, that's pretty much it.
So you would look at those people as being the quote-unquote top players or just people then?
Gensu, not really. No, sorry. Sorry, Joe. But Spooky, he's kind of busy with his streaming business too, so he hasn't had a lot of time to play. So, you know, I haven't had a lot of time. He hasn't had a lot of time. We're both kind of doing our own things. So, I mean, if we played now, we definitely wouldn't be at top form like we were when we were practicing hardcore. But yeah, in spirit, I do consider them my rivals.
Okay, cool. Little off topic. What's the best tournament you've ever been to?
NEC.
NEC. The NEC. Past one or just...
All of them.
All of them.
Yep. NEC, that was my first real fighting game tournament. I'm not counting the whole, like, you know, Crash 2005 thing where we did... when we went to 8 on the break, we played Melty, we got kicked out, and we went to Zaylor's house. That doesn't count.
No.
Like, NEC was the first tournament I went to, and that was the first time I commentated. And I basically did everything off the top. I had never practiced. I never commentated. People loved it. And I had a great time. I couldn't make it to the NEC after that, but I made it to the one the year after. Had a great time again, and I'm hoping to go to this year's NEC and have another, basically just a great tournament. And the reason I say it's the best tournament is because Evo's the biggest one. Evo's the most well-known one. But there's a certain atmosphere to NEC where it's just rough and it's uncultured. It's just a bunch of people that love the game. They love all sorts of games. And even if your game is not popular, even if your game is not big, chances are at NEC, somebody's going to be playing it. And somebody will be pretty good at it. So NEC is a time for like every game to shine. And NEC was the first tournament that gave Melty a chance. And it's still representing Melty. And a lot of the bigger communities for Melty are on the East Coast. And East Coast pretty much goes out to NEC in droves every year. So that's going to be the tournament that I will always hold close to my heart. It's going to be NEC.
Yeah, I can say the same. NEC is just too good. Can you give us a comparison, having been to NEC and I guess other tournaments on the East Coast, can you give us a comparison for our East Coast and West Coast play? I mean, you could...
Do I have to be politically correct?
No, you don't have to be politically correct. But it can be current, or it can be in the past, or whatever you want.
Just step on everyone's toes.
Yeah.
Sure. Okay, I will do that. I think the biggest difference between East Coast and West Coast is that East Coast tends to be very... The polite term is rough. East Coast tends to be very rough, very quote-unquote uncultured, very just, you know, get into the thick... things, let's do this. A lot of cuss words, basically just a lot of ghetto-ness. And I'm not saying that as a bad thing, I'm saying that as a good thing. Because, you know, at the end of the day, we're just all a bunch of nerds playing fighting games. And we're just coming here, sitting in a hotel room, playing this stuff until the break of dawn, drinking, doing all these crazy things. And it's just a really, really fun, good time. On the West Coast, people tend to be a lot more polite, a lot more civilized, a lot more white bread and straight edge, so to speak. Like at NEC, people drink, people get messed up. People drink, people get high. A lot of crazy stuff happens. West Coast, it's like, oh, hey, how's it going? Blah, blah, blah. Okay, we're going to play our video games, and we're going to hang out, and we're going to go to Denny's, and that's the end of the night. And that's it. And it's like, well, that's cool and everything, but it doesn't really feel like me. Because people look at me and they think, oh, this guy's a computer nerd, and he looks so straight edge and so normal. And, you know, that's like, that's my mix up. Right. People don't really know.
IRL like, mix up.
Really, really hella ghetto. People just don't know that. Especially with the way I speak. Because whenever I speak, I sound pretty educated.
Right.
And that's the best part, because people never suspect that, you know, I would prefer NEC over EVO. They just think, oh, you look so intelligent. You're such a bright person. It's like, no, I'm pretty ghetto. You just don't know. That's a West Coast thing, by the way.
What do you think this is attributed to, the fact that you used to be, quote-unquote, East Coast?
Yeah, I did live on East Coast for a couple of years, and I was pretty ghetto at the time. And my first tournament experience was 8 on the Break, and we all know 8 on the Break is not high culture. It's pretty ghetto.
Nope, not at all.
Got us the break states. So, yeah, since that was my first experience in the scene, I kind of gauged everything since then by 8 on the Break. I mean, it's not a very high metric to aspire to, but that's how it is. So whenever I went – the first time I went to EVO, I was like, wow, this is really clean cut, well run, and it's completely –
not greasy.
Yeah. It was just kind of hilarious how the difference between East and West Coast. I think this is very well illustrated in the Street Fighter 4 scene, where you have – well, this is a couple years ago, but back in the day you had Empire running tournaments at the Arc, and you had a lot of people that look like they would probably kill you if you beat them at the game. And then you go to like West Coast, and then you have Gutex pushing his tournaments. It's like, oh, let's play Street Fighter 4 by the poolside. There's going to be entertainment and drinks, and a good time will be had by all. And I'm just like, yeah, you do that on the East Coast, people just laugh at you.
No, bring your monocles. Like, no, thanks.
Yeah, bring your monocles and top hats and your hats.
No, not going to happen. I did actually want to ask a branch off somewhat of the East Coast and West Coast play. Do you think one coast favors rushdown or offense more, or do you think like one coast like borrowed from, I guess, a style more and everyone else picked up on it? Or like, if you could describe both coasts in one word, like separately, what do you think those words would be?
This is a difficult question to answer. I don't think you can divide the styles by the coast. I think it depends on the players. Like, because you can say that, okay, well, Shay and I, we both play keep away characters, because Shay plays Crescent Mech, I play Full White Lin. Those are both very lame, runaway, keep away zoning characters. But at the same time, Yat plays Half Tono, pretty much pure rushdown character. So you really can't say West Coast is about lame. Then on the East Coast, you have Spooky, who plays Half Xian, pure rushdown character. But then you have Czar, who plays a very defensive, you know, full CL and plays full mech. And he plays very conservatively, very safely, but he also does his rushdown moments too. So it's like, it really depends on the player. There's no one true style that dominates any of the coasts, in my opinion.
Okay. That's cool. Just my curiosity.
All right. What was your reaction to Melty being voted into Evolution, like all the other Melty Blood players?
Do you want me to be honest?
Yes.
Yes.
How brutal. The fuck did this happen? I honestly did not expect Melty to go into EVO. I thought it would be Third Strike or CBS2. And the reason I thought that is because, not because I was fading Melty, but I thought a lot of the votes would have been discovered as illegitimate. I thought a lot of the votes would have been counted as people who are basically just stream monsters who voted for Melty despite not playing it, despite having no intentions of coming out for it.
Right.
But at the same time, I kind of overestimated the strength of the Capcom scenes with CVS2. And there was also the factor that the Capcom people had to be divided up between CVS2 and 3S. So I was really surprised Melty got into Evo. I'm a realist. I'm also really, really pessimistic. So I'm going to go ahead and say that there's probably no chance that it'll ever get back to Evo.
But that's I think we all had that assumption as well.
Right.
Yeah, especially since the PS3 port is indefinitely not happening. Yeah, it's like, yeah, it's pretty much done. So, but that's what we have an EC for.
True. All right. Now, how's the scene compared to when you started? And this is going to be weird for people who are like, there was Melty Blood how long ago? There wasn't just MBAC?
Melty Blood's been around for a very long time. And the thing with Melty is that because it's an anime game, which, you know, you can't deny, it's an anime game, let's face it.
Oh, yeah.
So it's an anime game, so you're going to come across a lot of people that don't play it as a fighting game, but they play it as a casual game. It's like, oh, look, my favorite characters from Tsukihime are here. So they're going to just, you know, go into the game, they're going to pirate it for free, they're going to mash some buttons, they never really know what, like, actual high-level gameplay is. So in the beginning of Melty Blood Akadenza, well, Melty Blood React and Akadenza, a lot of people just played the game, and they were bad. I was one of them. I was really bad. I'm not going to lie. I was really bad at Akadenza. I was not good at it. So we had a lot of people that were actually from other fighting games. For example, Arlieth. Tom used to be a really good Third Strike player, so he took a lot of fighting game experience and knowledge, and he just played at Melty Blood. And that's why he won so many West Toasts, because people actually played fighting games and they knew exactly how to read opponents, especially with Third Strike. That's kind of essential to that whole game. So he knew how to read opponents. He knew how to use the shield system to his advantage before there was an actual penalty for whiffing a shield. So he dominated like the first, what, 9 or 10 West Toasts. And then after that, Naruna and Kaguya showed up. And by today's standards, Naruna and Kaguya would probably be along, like, you know, mid-tier, upper mid-tier American level for actress again. But back then, they were, like, you know, unbeatable.
Untouchable.
Everybody was like, oh, my God, these guys are doing full combos, and they're not dropping their combos. And they're not doing these setups, and it's so crazy.
They're
and
not American.
Nobody knew how to fight mech in MBAC, so Kaguya kept winning. So the level of play for the American Melty scene has risen dramatically, mostly because now is the YouTube era, the Nico Nico era, because now we have all these match videos. We can sit down, we can watch these replays over and over, we can break down everything that's going on in a matchup, we can practice mode combos because we know they exist. That was a big problem back in the older days. We didn't know all these combos existed. So we can basically take all the knowledge from Japan and just copy it. And that's why the scene has improved dramatically. But at the base level, we still have a lot of people that are still casual. But that comes with the territory of any fighting game. Like, if you look at Street Fighter 4, if you look at BlazBlue, there's still a ton of casual players there. Especially with BlazBlue. There's a ton of people that they just play the game for the story mode. They don't play the game seriously. And, you know, they make jokes about Ice Car or, you know, Soviet Russia because, you know, stupid Mike Z made that video. Now everybody makes jokes about Tager and Soviet Russia. Blah, blah, blah. It's not funny anymore. Okay, whatever. So, yeah, there's still a bunch of casuals for every scene. It's just that the level of play has risen dramatically. I think the level of play, if you look at how big the Melty scene is and how many good to decent players there are in the Melty scene, it would be proportionate compared to all the other scenes, compared to a couple years ago where it was mostly just a bunch of casuals.
Yeah, we've got a lot of killers now. It's pretty scary. Yeah.
We have a lot of killers.
Yeah. Well, now with Evolution behind this and NEC coming up and even Final Round coming out next year, where do you think we'll go from here? Or perhaps where do you think we should go from here? I mean, we've got current code standing out in Japan, and we've only we're you know pretty much sitting here with actors again. Where do you think we'll go from here, if anywhere? I mean,
Well, like I said previously, I'm a realist. I'm a pessimist.
Right.
And I'm very cynical. Basically, what's going on right now is that a lot of people are disillusioned because, number one, we're not playing the most current version.
Right.
Number two, they've already confirmed the most current version probably is not coming out for a very long time. So there's the whole stigma of, you know, oh, well, you can't do this in current code, but you're doing it now. You're getting away with it. So that discourages a lot of people. But at the same time, this is very similar to the situation that we had when version B was in the arcade for Multi-Blood Accadenza, and we only had Multi-Blood Accadenza PS2. The main difference is that Multi-Blood Accadenza PS2 was a really bad port.
Yes.
For those of you that don't know, there's actually like no hit stop in that game. So the game runs faster than arcade did. So that was corrected in the PC version of version B. The good thing is that we actually have a PS2 port, which is much closer to current code than MBAC PS2 was to version B. And also, because it's on PS2, the logistics of running tournaments is much easier. For those of you that want a PC port, you know, this is a really, really tired old argument, so I'm not going to go into it again. But it's undeniable truth that a PS2 port is much easier to set up at tournaments. It is much more respected than busting out your laptop in the middle of a hotel room. Because the moment you do that, you discredit yourself and the whole scene. Like, with a laptop, there's so many factors taken into consideration. There's, you know, polling rates with input delay on USB ports. There's lag on the LCD monitors. There's the fact that, you know, most people's laptops are not that powerful, so there's processor lag. There's all these other factors you have to take into consideration. It just makes running things a hassle. PS2, you grab a TV, you grab a PS2, you grab a memory card, you plug in your sticks, you configure, set up, you're done. That's it. You don't have to worry about any of the other BS. And because it's on a CRT, you know, there's no lag. So PS2, I think we're in a better position than we are with MBAC. It really depends on the scene and if they want to keep it alive. It's just kind of a joint effort by all the players. I know that a lot of people, they're really discouraged. Oh, it's like, oh, we don't have current code. We're not going to get current code. What's the point of playing AA? But again, with any fighting game, it all comes down to how much you love the game and how much you want to play it. As long as we get new blood, I think that will keep things interesting. Mm-hmm. I do understand it will be hard to get new blood with things the way they are right now. But NBA, Melty has survived all these years. It will survive. That's not going to be a problem.
You don't think it'll be as dire as it has been in the past? You think it'll just be a much easier transition if we stick to what we have right now and if we are blessed with current codes sometime in the future?
I don't know what the situation is with current code. I do know that French Bread and, well, not French Bread, but Ecole or whoever, they're doing another sprite-based fighter, and it's going to be high definition.
Right.
So I think what most people are hoping for is that that game will be the new Melty, kind of like how Blaze Blue is the new Guilty Gear. Even though I know it's not as good as Guilty, don't kill me. I know it's not. But everybody's kind of hoping, yeah, the new franchise will be the new Melty Blood, and that's going to get a PS3 port.
Okay.
So I think that's kind of what everybody's holding out for, that game and also an eventual release of current code. So yeah, like, I think the reason that people play Melty is because they really enjoy the way the system works. They enjoy just a lot of the aspects of the engine. So they don't really, a lot of people, they do play for the story or the characters, but a lot of people, more people than those nowadays, they played for the engine and the sense of community. Because the Melty community it's kind of small, but it's pretty tightly knit. Generally, everybody knows each other. So there's a lot of camaraderie, a lot of friendship. So that's the reason why a lot of people are sticking with the game. So I don't think it's going to be as bad as it was before. I can't lie, it's going to be pretty bad, but I don't think it'll be as bad as it was.
Don't give up.
Right. I have a video on my YouTube channel of one of the Evos where we were running finals in the hallway.
Oh, God.
Of the hotel. Yeah, that, I don't think it's going to ever get that bad ever again.
No.
Because that was
totally the story about that. American penalty.
Can I tell you a little bit more about that?
Yeah, by all means, please tell. So, even with me being there, I want to hear this story again.
Yeah, basically, this is the year where the PC version officially got released, and we could not run PS2 anymore because the PC version was the definitive version. So we had to go with the definitive, most updated version. And so people brought their laptops, and what happened was that we were running the tournament. Before we finished it, I believe they kicked us out of the BYOC room. So we actually had to run the tournament and finish the finals sitting in the hallway because that's where all the power plugs were. We had about 30, 40 people just huddled up in the hallway of a hotel room. Yeah. And everybody just kind of hunched over. Everybody's, you know, just messing around with their USB converters, their little pelicans, and, oh, can you make sure the polling rate's set at 1,000 ms? That way I minimize input lag. And what's the delay on LCD? And, you know, it wasn't exciting. It was obviously nowhere close to this year where we had Melty on the big screen and thousands of people on the stream watching. Actually, it was, what, 10,000 people?
Something like that.
Something.
Yeah, we had like 10,000 people on stream watching it. We had thousands of people in the conference room watching it. And we had live commentary by me and Spooky. We had all this stuff going for it. That was, without a doubt, the highest moment for American Melty. And without a doubt, the year before was the lowest point. So I don't think we're ever going to get back to that lowest point ever again. And this is why I'm so adamant against the PC release, because the PC release will only fragment the scene more. The people that want a PC release, I don't think they realized how badly it killed the tournament scene, because it opened up the doors to people just staying at home and net playing. It opened up the doors to where people couldn't run the game at tournaments because nobody had a laptop that could run it.
Right.
So even when it did, it was just wasn't exciting. It was more of a hassle than anything, and people didn't save replays, and obviously you really couldn't stream it because, you know, running a stream and running the game on the same computer was just too much. So, yeah, I don't think we're ever going to go back to that. So I don't think it'll be as bad as it was before.
Don't lose hope. We can do it. One final question for you, sir. If Koma, the one in our logo, came up to you with two freshly baked loaves of bread, what would you do?
I would ask him to toast the bread because that's what Quiznos does. He would be able to do it with his hands too, or his feet. That's pretty nasty.
So you'd pretty much be welcoming him. And
actually, no, I wouldn't because I don't eat bread anymore. I'm kind of on like a low-carb diet.
Right.
So me and Koma would be sworn enemies. You know how when Shiki and Koma have a fight and they have that cool intro animation where the wind's blowing past Shiki and he's standing up straight and looks all cool and everything?
Right.
That'll be me, except I'll be holding, like, you know, a loaf of bread in my hand.
And carbs? I don't need that.
You just break the bread in half and throw it at him.
It's like, yeah, I'm gonna stab the point of the carbs. This is what it means to kill carbs.
I can see the
I'll get
carbs.
Like a butter. And I'll just stab it at its point.
What would you have left? Like just grains and I don't even know.
What's that called? Lines of carb perception?
I honestly don't know.
It's awful. Oh, man. Well, I want to thank you very much for being on the show today, Vella. I appreciate you being on and fulfilling everybody with a little bit of the old history and keeping the hope, so to speak. I also want to thank everyone else for tuning in again. And I believe for our next show, we will have another quote-unquote big name on, but I'll keep it a surprise for next time. So good night, everyone, and keep mashing.